We've been looking at the concept of bringing Jannah on earth and for the human being to realize his or her full potential. The ayah we focused on is ayah 201 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا عَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And there are some amongst them who say, our Rabb, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. We'll continue with the physical manifestations of belief and the aspiration and endeavor to be Ahlul Jannah. And we've looked at good health and hijab. Before we go on to words, let's look at some other aspects of attire that identify one as Ahlul Jannah. The attire recommended should be elegant. It should befit the position of the human being. When Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam was asked why he was dressed smartly when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to dress simply, he said, he quoted the ayah Surah Al-Ahraf, ayah 32, that's surah number 7, ayah 32, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Say, who has prohibited the embellishment of Allah which He has brought forth for His abd and the good provisions? And Imam elaborated his answer by saying that the reason for the Prophet's simple dressing was because the Muslims then were in a poor economic condition and he dressed as them. As society had prospered economically, you know, you had to be in touch with the society that you lived with. And Imam then showed him his inner clothes, which were coarse, to be a constant reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the man who asked was one who on his apparent outer side wore coarse clothes. And he was ashamed and he showed that underneath his torn cloak there were luxurious clothes. So you've got to dress smartly. I don't mean expensively or show off or nothing like that. I'm talking about smart. It should be clean, should be pressed, should be smart. We know that silk and gold are forbidden for men. The Prophet ﷺ recommended the wearing of cotton and wool. The best color to wear is white. Black is makruh. That is not recommended because it is a sign of fir'auniyat, except if it is an abba or a covering cloak for women. It is also recommended to wear clothes which befits one's gender. The Prophet ﷺ has said that wearing black shoes reduces the light of the eyes. It is recommended to wear rings with an aqiq, which is an agate, for safety. The turquoise, which is known as a firuza, helps in victory in whatever task you're doing and helps the eyesight as well. The Prophet ﷺ has said that an emerald would assist to ease affairs. A ruby is worn for beauty and dignity. And one of the signs of a mu'min is that they wear rings on their right hand. Cleanliness is also a sign of those who are Ahlul Jannah. To be in wudu all the time, to be tahir all the time, the doing of the ghusl of Jama'ah and all the necessary, you know, not only the necessary ghusl, but the ones that are mustahab, recommended as well. Applying scent, not as powerful as to leave behind a smell, but being fresh. And I'll put a note of caution here though, because the Prophet ﷺ warns women not to perfume themselves for na-mahrams, for those whom they can have a relationship with, and not to wear perfume to attract them. If you washed your face with rose water, the Prophet said, it would increase its luster and alleviate worry. A massage with jasmine oil would cure 70 diseases. So these are things we need to look at. We've got so much in our wealth of knowledge. All we need to do is have a look, open it, and see how much there is. We hear so much about aromatherapy and feng shui and all sorts of different things, when Islam has these 1400 years ago. Alas, the sad thing is that we as Muslims do not access the treasure we have. I'd like to now look at the next physical manifestation, which is through the words we speak. As I mentioned yesterday, the Prophet ﷺ said, a person is behind his tongue, is hidden behind his tongue. And he said, keep away from a conversation which is without an aim or an object, for it lowers your position. Let's have a look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on words. Let's look at Surah Ibrahim, that is Surah number 14. And this is ayat from ayat 24 to 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alam tara kayfa daraballahu mathalan kalimatan tayyibatan kashajaratin tayyibatin asluha thabitun wa far'uha fis samai tu'ti ukulaha kullu hinin bi'izni rabbiha. Have you not considered how Allah sets forward the example or a parable of a good word being like a good tree, whose root is firm and whose branches are in the heaven, yielding its fruit in every season with the permission of its Rabb? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And Allah gives examples for people that they may reflect. Then he continues to say, وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ اجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقَ الْأَرْضِ مَا لَحَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ. And the example, the parable of an evil word is as an evil tree which is pulled up from the surface of the earth and has no stability. And he continues in ayah 27 to say, وَيُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْقَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah confirms those who believe with the clear, sure word in the life of this world and in the hereafter, and he causes the unjust to go astray, and Allah does what he pleases. Imam Zainul Abidin al-Islam in his Risalat al-Hukuk, the Treatise of Right, says, the right of the tongue is that you consider it too noble for obscenity. Accustom it to good. Refrain it from any meddling in which there is nothing to be gained. Express kindness to people and speak well concerning them. It's been estimated that most people speak enough in a week to fill a large 500-page book. In the average lifetime, that would be about, I don't know, 1.5 million pages, I think. It's a frightening thought that it's these words, and through these words, which we shall be either blessed or condemned. There is an ancient Greek fable about a monster known as Proteus, who had the power of assuming so many shapes and appearances. He could become a tree or a pebble, a lion or a dove, a serpent or a lamb. And he didn't have very he had very little difficulty in passing from one form to the other. And really, this fabled creature is like the human tongue. It can bless or it can curse. It can express praise or it can whisper slander. It can spread a word of encouragement or it can spread vindictive hatred. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says how you should call people to the right way. In Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, Ayah 125, he says, أُدْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْئِذَةَ الْحَسَنَةِ. Call to the way of your Rabb with wisdom and good speech, good exhortations. He even says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِاللَّتِي هِيَ أَحَسَنُ. And even when you have disputations, do it in the best of manners. Because this is إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ظَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُحْتَدِينَ. Your Rabb knows best who goes astray from his path and who knows best those who follow the right way. If we look at the Prophet ﷺ, the commentator of Nahj al-Balagha, Ibn Abil Hadid, writes that everyone who heard the Prophet speak became inclined towards him and they developed a love for him in their hearts. So much so that the Quraysh called the Muslims in Makkah Subat, which meant infatuated ones. And they said, his speech is magic, it intoxicates more than wine. They forbade their sons to sit with him in case they might be attracted to his speech. And whenever the Prophet ﷺ sat near the Kaaba, reciting the Quran or remembered Allah, the Quraysh would stick their fingers firmly in their ears so that they would not hear the speech and fall under the spell of his speech. They used to gather their clothes over their heads and cover their faces so his radiant appearance would not draw them to him. And you can see, nevertheless, most people accepted Islam just by hearing him once or by seeing him. This is the effect that words have, They have an amazing effect, and we must learn how to discipline them. Before we understand the positive side, we've got to look at the negative. It's only when we look at the negative effect of words that we understand how important words are. See, maybe I can sum up the destructive force of words in a poem. I was reading it and it just hit me so hard. It says, "I am more deadly than the whistling bullet from a gun. I win without killing. I tear down homes. I break hearts. I wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity is pure enough to stop me. I have no regard for truth. I have no respect for justice. Neither do I have mercy for the defenseless. My victims are numerous as the sands of the sea and often just as innocent. I am gossip." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah 12 says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ijtanibu kathiram min adhan." So the first thing he says, avoid most of suspicion. "Inna ba'adha dhanni ithmun." For surely suspicion is a sin. "Wala tajassasu," and do not spy. "Wala yaghtab ba'adukum ba'adhan," and do not let some of you backbite others. He continues, he says, "أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ." Does any one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You hate it. So be God conscious. Indeed, Allah is oft returning to mercy, and He is merciful. Let's look at another ayah with the same thing. Surah An-Nur, ayah 19. "إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَنْ تَشِيءَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ." Surely for those who love that scandal should circulate respecting those who believe, they will have a painful punishment in the world and in the hereafter, and Allah knows while you do not know. What is ghiba then? The Prophet ﷺ has said, ghiba is to mention something about your brother or sister in iman that they may hate to have mentioned. He said, backbiting is to mention something about your brother or sister in Islam which is concealed by Allah, that is, it's hidden from the knowledge of other people, and you have let them know. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam said, those who talk about that which they have seen from a believer with their own eyes, or may have heard from him with their own ears, they are those that Allah has described in the Quran as those who love that scandal should circulate. Very often we give the excuse, but it's the truth. But you need to go through a triple filter test. First of all, is it the truth? And if you say yes, it's the truth. The second thing is it useful information? Is it going to be of any use to the person you're telling it to? And thirdly, is it going to hurt someone? If all three, for example, if it's the truth, you say yes. If it's going to be useful, you may think so, yes. But if it's going to hurt someone, that's a yes, then leave it. Don't say it. Let me give an example. The companion of the Prophet ﷺ, Salman al-Farsi, was once sent to get some food by some of the companions. He went to the kitchens of the Prophet, which was managed by Usama bin Zayd, who regretfully said that there was no food that day. When Salman returned and informed the companions, they said that Usama was a miser, and Salman was the same as well. Later, when they appeared before Rasulullah, he said, "What's the matter? I see particles of flesh in your teeth." They said, "We've not consumed any meat." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "It is the flesh of Salman and Usama." And it was at this point that Suratul Humaza was revealed. We're going to look at that surah in a little while. Before that, let me have a look at some of the other ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Abstain from backbiting, for it is worse than adultery. For after committing adultery, and if one seeks Allah's pardon, He grants it. However, the forgiveness for ghibah is not granted until the one whose ghibah he did forgives first." He says ghibah eats away one's good deeds, that means one's hasanat, in the same way that fire eats wood. And in Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the person who does riba, if he repents, he will be the last to enter Jannah. And if he does not repent, then he will be of the first to enter Jahannam. The Prophet continued to say, whoever does the riba of a Muslim, be it male or female, his prayers will not be accepted for 40 days and nights unless he seeks forgiveness from the one whose riba he did. Ibn Abbas narrates from the Prophet. He says, the punishment of the grave is 3/3. 1/3 for riba, 1/3 for slander, and the last third for najasat. For najasat of the body and the nafs. Imam Ali alayhi salam describes it this way. He says, riba is the springtime pasture for the shameful. The one who listens to it is one of those who does it. It is the endeavor of the incapable. Whoever is aware of his faults will have no time for the faults of others. How fortunate is the one whose concern for his own faults keeps him from noticing the faults of others. O slave of Allah, do not be quick to find faults with the wrong actions of anyone, for perhaps he may have been forgiven. And do not feel at ease with yourself, even if it is only for slight disobedience, for perhaps you may be punished for it. So may whoever of you who knows about others' faults be restrained by what he knows about his own faults, and may he be concerned only with his own gratitude for being spared for what troubles others. Slander is a deadly arrow and the bridge to evil. I'd like to look at Surah Al-Humazah. This is Surah number 104, where Allah gives the psychological profile of one who does riba. Now again, it is a matter of looking at ourselves and seeing, do I fit this profile? And if so, I need to change. He says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every backbiter and slanderer. الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ. So the first quality of this person is that he or she amasses wealth and considers it a provision, in other words, and counts it. Very much a materialistic person. يَحَسَبُ أَنَّهُ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He thinks that his wealth will make him immortal. Their life goal is the material world, and they do not consider that there will be any consequences for their actions, so they're not believing in the Akhirah. And Allah says, كَلَّا never. لَيُنْبَضَنَّ فِي الْحَتَمَةِ. They will be thrown into a crushing disaster. And then he says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُتَمَةِ. What will make you realize what that crushing disaster is? نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوقَدَةِ. It is a fire kindled by Allah. الَّتِي تَتَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. It rises above the hearts. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةِ. It closes over them. فِي أَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةِ. In extended columns. That means there is a continuous agitation within that person. The agitation comes from jealousy. It's a continuous agitation when they see people who are above them, obviously jealous because they want that sort of thing. People below them they view with contempt. People equal to them they don't like because they'd like to be better than them. May Allah save us from this sin and give us the tawfiq to be able to discipline our words in the right way.